Dr. Stein sends his regrets that he's not able to be here today, and I'll be pinch hitting for him a little bit. So if you'll bear with me, we'll make it through. This is in some ways an introduction to Dr. Rolfe's talk, where she's going to lead into the development of a heifer development system here in Oklahoma. I think that's going to provide a great avenue for the Oklahoma beef industry, and this will be a crucial component of that. I think as we look at it, the U.S. beef industry, we've seen a decline in the total cow inventory over the last several years. We're kind of going back to the numbers that we saw in the late 50s and 60s, with our max coming in here in the late 70s and 80s. On a more local level, we're looking at the Oklahoma cow, beef cow inventory here. We were second in the nation going back to 2011. With the advent of the drought over the past several years, we've seen a decline in our cow numbers, and we're starting to get a bit of a recovery, but I think looking forward to the next several years, we're going to be in a recovery period during that time. We really need to look at some procedures and implements and practices that are going to help us make that improvement in cow numbers be more worthwhile in terms of quality of animals that are coming in. As I kind of indicated, we've had a severe drought, which has led to the declines in some instances, but I think we're all very well aware of some of the financial impact that we've had with the record high input and production costs. We've got the variable cost. Everybody's familiar with feed. It's not hard to forget a few years ago that we were paying record amounts for a bale of hay just to get our cows through a really tough summer. And then the winters have not been nice either. We've also got a fixed cost, land cost, whether you own or whether you lease, and you're running cows on those, equipment cost, all of those expenses are going up as well. As we move to rebuild the nation's cow herd, one of the major challenges that kind of sets this situation apart from previous years is the increased market value of the replacement heifers that we're considering. One thing we need to keep in mind that as the values for these replacement females increased, so is the loss that's incurred when we cull these females too early because of reproductive failure. So we're going to turn our focus now into heifer retention and the appropriate practices related to retaining those heifers into our program or into our production setting. As we've kind of heard several times today, there's a range of procedures available to the cow-calf producer which are going to aid in this reproductive management for these replacement females. And this will hopefully determine the outcome of this to be a great success, because we'll be not only enhancing our cow numbers in the future, but we'll be adding quality to those females as well. I think through Dr. Patterson and several of the other conversations that have occurred over the past few days, it's pretty well stated that this is a collaborative effort. And we're so in doing these heifer development programs, I think we've got a unique opportunity for collaboration between our producers, our extension agents, both local, county, state, and then the veterinarians in that area as well, to collaborate and work towards providing a rigid structure or perhaps a more comprehensive structure for the development of these replacement female programs. And in turn, we can kind of see some adjustment or some changes in the Oklahoma beef industry as a result. One of our primary concerns is infertility and the economic losses that occur because of those. We'll broadly classify, in terms of reproduction, three main areas that we see fertility, with the first being females that fail to achieve fail to become pregnant during the breeding season. We generally like to classify those as periods of time 60 to 120 days. We also have females that become pregnant but fail to calve, early embryonic loss, abortion, things of that nature. And then females that become pregnant late in the breeding season. These provide a unique aspect of the current environment, where we're actually seeing some value behind those heifers, and we'll get into that in a minute. not to repeat the conversation from Dr. Funston, but just to highlight a few key components as we look towards selecting those heifers in our replacement programs from a reproduction standpoint. We want to have select for those heifers that have a greater opportunity to become pregnant early in the first breeding season. Most producers, as you think about your neighbors, because it's never yourself, but very few of them know the pubertal status of those heifers when they go ahead to breed them. We can talk about observing estrus, but I think we all know that that takes time, and our time is probably our most valuable asset. And when it comes to sitting out in the pasture for a few hours, that's time away from other things that we could be taking. So observation of estrus becomes a difficult thing to do sometimes. Age of puberty has been talked about quite extensively. I'll do not much more than just define it as the age at which a heifer first exhibits estrus and ovulates. It's been pretty well identified that we can have an increase in fertility from the first pubertal estrus to the third estrus on a particular heifer. When you consider that the breeding season for heifers begins about 2 to 3 weeks before we start breeding cows, and that the fertility of these heifers bred at that pubertal estrus is lower than at the third estrus, then really when we're looking at our heifers that we're going to bring into our herd, we need to have them reaching puberty at least 6 to 10 weeks before we really consider breeding our cows. And this will in turn increase the proportion of heifers that will conceive early. We also want heifers that are going to calve without difficulty at a desired age. I think everybody's well aware that we want our heifers to have their first calf at 2 years of age, and the economic importance of that as compared to calving it as a three-year-old. We also want these heifers to return to cycling as soon as they get done calving. We want to minimize that postpartum interval as much as we can. If we move calving back in those first calf heifers, they're not going to have sufficient time to regain body condition. We've got to have to remember that they're growing still. They're trying to maintain body function as well as feed a calf. So the demands on that animal are going to be pretty substantial. If we don't allow adequate time for them to regain that, they're not going to breed back. Reproduction is the lowest nutrient priority when we're talking about a growing animal. This is one of the largest single economic losses to beef producers, and as a result, the infertility leads to the failure of a beef female to calve during the subsequent season, as we kind of talked about already. Heifers calving early in their first calving season are more likely to have a greater lifetime productivity and are more likely to become pregnant in the subsequent breeding season. This might be the same data that was just presented, where when we look at the percentage of heifers remaining in the herd as they go across the calving seasons, the blue line indicates these heifers that calve in the first part of the calving season. Where we have the ones that calve in the mid and late calving season, they're retained longer. They're more productive. We heard that they wean more calves up to the sixth calving season. So there's a lot of merit behind getting those cows or those heifers to calve early because it sets a precedent for the subsequent years. Typically, there's a tendency to choose for the phenotypic traits, the oldest, the largest heifers, and I think that's a common thing. And while it's true that most of these heifers that are heaviest at weaning will increase and will have proportionally be more mature, more pubertal at that year of age, that's not always the case. And so that's something that we need to consider when we're selecting those replacement females. We want to consider the sexual maturity of those females before we bring them in. And that leads us into reproductive tract scoring. Reproductive tract scoring was first described by Anderson in 1991, and it's a system developed to assist beef producers with the selection of potential replacement heifers before initiation of the breeding season and to estimate pubertal status. Typically, it carries through on a 1 to 5, and we'll get into the table. It's been described by Patterson already, but we'll go through it again because I think it's important to see how simple, in some ways, although it is a subjective measure, it can be to evaluate. Think about it occurring in the same time as a calfhood or a pre-breeding vaccination. They're already in the chute. Aside from just a little bit more time, there won't be much extra input into that heifer development system. As we look at a reproductive tract score of 1, it's a fairly immature tract. Has very little tone. Our ovarian size is fairly small, and we have no follicles present. As we move down into 2 and 3, we're going to increase our uterine horn size. We're going to go from no tone to a slight tone of that uterine mass. We're going to increase the size of our ovaries, and we're going to go from actually having a follicle to having an increased follicle size in our 3s. As we move down into the 4 and 5 reproduction tract score, we're going to improve the tone and size of our uterine horns. We'll have a more erect uterine structure. As we move into the 5s, again, increased ovarian size, and we have more mature follicles there, a larger size of the follicles, and as we move into the 5s, we have a definite corpus luteum present, indicating that these 4s and 5s are cycling and that they're reproductively viable. So we'll move into some possible applications. I think we can see that as we identify these heifers that are of advanced maturity relative to their size, we can use this as a screening test to determine the pubertal status before the breeding season. Why breed a 1 or a 2 reproduction tract score heifer if they're never going to conceive? Why even waste the time and effort in breeding that female if she's not going to conceive? We can also use it as an indication of the nutritional needs of a heifer when sufficient time is needed to allowed before the breeding season. If we've got a group of reproduction tract score 3 and we've got sufficient days, say 60 days, before we're planning on breeding, that should be sufficient enough time to supplement them in order to get that increased body growth or condition, get them up to that percentage of mature body weight, and help them to start cycling. We can also use it as a selection tool for age at puberty. Reproduction tract scores have been shown to be repeatable, especially when we're utilizing trained technicians to measure those scores or assess those scores, and it can be an accurate measure of pubertal status. There's a moderate heritability of those traits, ranging from about 3 to 4 on those. We indicated that we can use this as a pre-breeding examination. When we're doing this, we want to typically consider doing it 30, 60 days before we consider breeding those. In that situation, the cows with a reproduction tract score of 1 should more than likely be culled. They're just not mature enough to be brought into our heifer development system. If most of our heifers are assigned a reproduction tract score of less than 4, we should probably look at our herd and assess whether or not there's a developmental issue in those heifers and whether or not we're actually doing a good job of bringing those heifers, developing those heifers up to that point. Reproduction tract scores have been demonstrated to be good predictors of which heifers will conceive. Heifers with a higher reproduction tract score, whether it's in an AI production system or whether you're going to breed those by natural service, can become pregnant earlier in the breeding season compared with those having a lower reproductive tract score. Heifers with a reproductive tract score of 1 or 2 have longer days to AI, and as a result, we're going to have reduced pregnancy rates. There's a positive correlation existing between RTS and pregnancy rates within a 50-day AI season, and in turn, we're going to have an increased or a positive correlation with reproductive success in the following breeding season. Again, we're taking these more mature heifers, putting them into a system where they'll have more days in that first postpartum period to recuperate and be ready for the next breeding season. So putting all this information kind of from words into numbers, We'll set this study up for you. It was done in the Northwest United States. They took range cattle, ranch cattle, that were Angus cross heifers, and they scored all the reproduction tracks. They grouped the ones and twos on this system, and then exposed them to either an AI system with a natural service following. All these females were exposed to either, or were implemented with a either a 7 or a 5 day co-sync and a seeder, or they put them into a natural service group only. So they just turned them out with the bulls. These were 85 day breeding seasons. As we look across the AI pregnancy rate and our AI followed by natural service, so here we're just pulling apart our AI group. Notice that we're getting rid of only about 110 out of all these females if we're utilizing this as a culling protocol. But we can see that our pregnancy rate coming through that group increases as we have that reproduction track score increasing. For the entire breeding season, we're getting up into the 90s with a difference there for the reproduction track score 4s and 5s. And then when we turn this over into a natural service group, we have the 3, 4s, and 5s all having an increased pregnancy rate throughout that entire breeding season to natural service. So let's look at the median days to pregnancy, and this will help to illustrate the next point, that some of these synchronization protocols, we talked about taking our reproduction track score of 3 and using nutrition to help get those animals ready to breed. But I think it's safe to say that we can utilize our reproductive technologies and synchronize these heifers that are a reproduction track score 3 and get them into a successful breeding season. As we look at our 2s and belows, when we're looking at a natural service, we've got 60 days coming down. Our comparisons here are between the AI and natural service and just the natural service by itself. And then if you look at the AI, we're decreasing that time drastically. Remind yourself that this natural service was not subject to a synchronization protocol. Down in our 4s and 5s, we're looking at 10 days to get those, the median days to get those heifers pregnant. So one of the advantages of implementing this a seeder or an MGA, a progestin-based estrus synchronization protocol, is that you'll be able to induce estrus and ovulation in heifers with the reproduction track score of 3. That saves you from culling a bunch of heifers that might not breed back otherwise. So now we've got two strategies to bring in more heifers into our replacement system. So as we look forward, reproduction track scoring will be a useful tool for the selection of heifers in an Oklahoma heifer development system. This will hopefully increase the reproductive success of these replacement females and increase the lifetime productivity of heifers. I think this also illustrates a very unique opportunity for all the players in the Oklahoma beef industry to work collaboratively to provide a very great system by which Oklahoma beef can enhance some value into those females. With all of our producers, our extension staff, and veterinarians working cohesively to provide a very good heifer development system that's utilized statewide and for a fairly decent cost. Finally, and the ultimate part of this is if we are able to get a heifer development system established here in Oklahoma, like we've seen in Missouri and several other states, we're going to add value to the Oklahoma beef industry. With that, I'll try to get us out of here a little bit early and not take up the full 45 minutes, but I thank you for your time.